One bite on her hand, and Mel has a million problems. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me for the show. We are hitting off February right with a debut novel by Sarah Awa. It is called Hunter's Moon. If you like werewolf stories, this is the one for you. But it is not your typical werewolf genre story. Want to find out more? Go ahead and love on my sister today and pick up a copy of Hunter's Moon, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to be talking more about this in just a few moments, so stay tuned. I am so excited to announce that the Southern California Christian Writers Conference is open for registration. Make sure you go to SoCalCWC.com to register for the conference. I've had the pleasure of teaching a couple of workshops at the conference as well as being a guest. And let me tell you, it is one of the best conferences to go to. And then if you're in the mood for another conference, Realmakers is coming up soon. Make sure you go to Realmakers online and register for that conference as well. For all of you who like speculative fiction and you want faith and get to know a lot of good other authors and readers, Realm Makers is the one for you. And then I'm so excited to announce that Lore Haven has a podcast. Make sure you go to fantasticaltruth.com and download the next episode of Lore Haven's podcast. It's so exciting to see so many of the people that I network with and work with growing in their ministries, in their organizations, and in their outreach. I'm so glad just to see their growth because guess what? When we all work together, we all benefit from each other. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lore Haven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work, but what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Sarah Awa, with her debut novel, Hunter's Moon. You like werewolf stories? This is the one for you. Make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Hunter's Moon today, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. But you may have a chance to win a free copy of this book. All you got to do is stay tuned to the show, and I'll tell you how later on in the broadcast. What's really cool about talking to Sarah Awa today is that several years ago, I reached out to her because I was also writing a book, and it had a lot of Japanese elements to it. And I reached out to Sarah for some help, and Sarah was like, you know, if I can ever get the nerve to write my own book, I totally do it, or something to that effect. I said, well, I hope you do. I'd love to have you and read your book. And guess what, guys? I get to do that today. So this is her first book, and it's so nice to be able to pay it forward to someone who paid it forward to me. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Sarah Awa. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great.
I am so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us on this show. I never take it lightly that we have our guests with us, and it's no exception with you today. Plus, it's really cool to see a reader become a writer and so much more. So thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You know, Sarah, I can always read your bio, but that really doesn't tell us about who you are. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay. Well, I am from Ohio. I grew up and I still live in Northeast Ohio, so I'm an Ohioan through and through, and I'm an old child. I'm an INFJ, if people care about that. Well, I've been married for 7 years. I have a beautiful puppy dog who's a Shiba Inu just because I love Japanese stuff. No, just kidding. We didn't know he was a Shiba Inu when we adopted him. He's a mix, but he acts like a Shiba Inu, like a cat dog. He's my baby, so I'm a dog mom. Yeah, I've been reading and writing since, very, very young. And, I've been reading since about 4 years old, and I've been writing since maybe like 8 years old. So I've been obsessed with books for my whole entire life, ever since my mom started reading me books on her lap when I was like, a couple months old maybe.
What's exciting is that, it's really interesting how our parents give us the gift of reading when they read to us and share that experience of the written word. And when they share that experience of the written word, they create a bond that you will forever have when you read. And there's nothing like curling up with a good book. There's nothing like it in the world. And your book, Hunter's Moon, is no exception. Again, for those of you listening, Hunter's Moon is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. One thing you mentioned about how you like all things Japanese and stuff like that. Does any part of, I'm into anime and manga. I've been to it in a while because I've been writing, but like anime, manga, any of those people who write in those particular mediums, have they been part of your inspiration as a writer?
Actually, not for Hunter's Moon, but I have ideas for a future series. But, Hunter's Moon is turning into a series. It's probably just going to be a trilogy. I don't want to make it really that, longer than that. But after that, I have this idea. But I don't really want to say what it is now because it might be completely different by the time I start writing it. So but like a kind of like a, well, you know, Shadow of the Fox. It's like a teenage female heroine with like swords and magic and just like an adventure, like a fantasy adventure, that kind of idea, with a lot of themes from a few of my favorite different animes kind of blended together. I've got a whole deck of notes about it anyway, but so down the
awesome.
Road.
Awesome. I know
I'm
that. Yeah, Japanese anime is huge now, and it's funny because I remember when it first hit the wave, because how old I am, and I remember when it first hit the wave here, and we were like, oh my gosh, and we were into Mariko Takahashi, you know, Sensei Takahashi, we were into her, and she wrote like Inuyasha, Ramen One Half, Mai Sanikoku, some of the older anime from back in the day, because again, I'm old, and so we were like totally into her, and it was funny because when I got into Inuyasha, they were producing the manga in a way they hadn't did before. They were producing it in Japan and also in America at the same time. So the Japanese version would come out, and then the American version would come out at the same time. And that was big back then. And I remember one of the nerds in our class, his name was Jason, he always got the new manga. So we were all crowd around him, watching, you know, reading the manga and all this other kind of stuff. So, yeah, I totally remember those days. Now it's like, it's taken for granted, but when it first came out, manga and anime was so new to us. It was like, wow, their eyes are so big. What is that about? You know? And,
yeah,
you know,
I watched
they
Pokemon.
Had this long hair, you know? What were you going to say?
Yeah, when Pokemon came out in 96, I was like 13, so I was kind of obsessed, and my little brother was obsessed. We would watch it together every day, I think it was on, probably after school.
Mine was actually Sailor Moon. Mine's a Sailor Moon. I didn't know they had Americanized it till I watched it later on as an adult. I'm going, this is not the series I remember as a kid.
I wanted to watch more, but I don't know if I got that channel. I can't remember why I didn't watch it that much, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but I was really into Sailor Moon, and I remember being in a bathroom with a towel or something, and I'm singing the song, Fighting Evil by Moonlight, you know, and all that. And so,
I remember that.
Oh,
now.
Gosh, how pathetic.
Oh my gosh,
I'm revealing so much right now. I'm revealing so much right now. We should be so focused on you, you know. And so, Sarah, to get the spotlight off of me, tell us a little bit about your writing journey. You mentioned that you have been writing since you were 8 years old. Tell us about how, what stories you wrote back then. You know, tell us about that journey.
Okay, probably about eight. I say eight, but that's a guess. It could be seven or something, but. I think it was third grade. The teacher had an assignment, so she gave us a blank book that we were supposed to write in and draw, and we had to, like, draw the cover for it. It was just completely white on the every surface of it was white so you could draw on it and write in it. So I wrote a book about – it was an assignment. So I wrote a book about my gerbils getting loose from their cage and having adventures when we were out of the house, kind of like Toy Story. But Toy Story wasn't out back then. That's how old I am. So
no.
I wasn't copying off that or Secret Life of Pets. That's like way newer. So I was writing it before that stuff was out. So, and then at home I wrote my own books just for fun, not for any school assignment. I wrote a whole series of them about this girl named Jessica. She had curly red hair and she had a couple of siblings, and I really don't remember what adventures she went on, but I have them tucked away, hidden somewhere in my house, not for anyone's eyes, because I'm sure they're full of spelling errors and stuff like that, but the nostalgia, someday I'll find them and look at them again and remember what I wrote when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Those are the best ones sometimes when you find those stories, because you can look back and go, whoa, this is horrific. Or you can say, oh, my gosh, this is a really good idea. I should now develop this. You know, you mentioned about how your story was before Toy Story. And I promise you, I came up with Twilight many years before Stephanie Meyer came, but mine was more African-American bent, right? And I'm thinking, she stole my idea. And I still have it. I would never be published. It's a vampire story. It would never be published. I would never publish it because, I would never do it. Not because I don't like it. I'm just not into vampires anymore. I think I've, you know, it's not into it anymore. But,
maybe you
could
revamp
totally
it.
And then I read it. I was like, I can't put this out there. This can't come under my name. People will know. So, yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. So my next question, you know, as we talk about this whole process of your writing journey, how it goes, you know, tell us about what that process looks like for you, because you've been writing since you were eight. So I would, maybe I assume incorrectly, but I would think that you'd be very disciplined at what you do now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, unfortunately, I was such a good kid that my parents never really had to discipline me. So unfortunately, I never really had that much discipline in my life. Now, as an adult, you know, having, like, starting a business, I have definitely, you know, made leaps and bounds in setting up a routine and you know, disciplining myself. But unfortunately, as a child, I never really grew up, like, you know, I definitely did not. I was not in a military family, so my dad wasn't, like, a drill sergeant kind of guy at all. He was, like, super chill. And my mom just pretty much let us do whatever we want because we were good kids. We didn't really get in trouble. So I was kind of just not very disciplined. But I write now, like, I write at nighttime because for one thing, I'm a night owl. I'm, like, really not a morning person at all. So I just cannot write in the morning. And then I just wait until everyone's in bed and it's quiet, and then my mind is clear. And, you know, I sit at my computer in my office. My laptop's on the desk, so I have a nice comfy chair. I have my tea. I have my dragon stuffed animals and everything surrounding me. And then I make myself write. I just, a lot of time I stare at the screen. And I really can't think of stuff sometimes. And then I just, like, well, you know what, just start writing something. And then sometimes it comes, and sometimes I'm like, oh, that's crap. But I always try to make myself, you know, write something anyway, because it's better than not, so.
Oh, exactly. I feel you there. Sometimes even if you eke out 500 words, that's 500 words you didn't have before. So it's the constant pushing out something, because eventually you are going to get to the end. I remember one of our guests said one time, just make your minimum day one word. Like, I wrote one word today. Eventually you're going to get the boy ran. You know, eventually it's going to turn into something. So, yeah, just each day make a conscious effort to write something, even if it's one word, because you're going to write one more word. You know you're going to write more than one word. So that's encouraging for all of you listening out there. And for those of you listening, I'm talking to Sarah Awa. She is the author of the debut novel, Hunter's Moon. It's not your typical werewolf story, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Hunter's Moon today. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm influence categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Readio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at twotigersllc.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Sarah Awa. She is the author of the debut novel, Hunter's Moon. If you like werewolf stories, this is the one for you. So make sure you go ahead and pick up a copy today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. What's really exciting about this is that I get a chance to talk to someone who helped me out in my own writing journey, and now I get to talk to her about her writing journey. And it's not just being a reader and a writer, but now Sarah is a publisher. So Sarah, I want you to take a few moments to talk about what your publishing company is about.
Okay. Jeannie Ingram and Deborah Nadelson and I are the three, what do you call it, C-suite execs. We founded the company last June or July. I think the business license got filled out in July. So, but Jeannie and I have known each other since about 2003. We were roommates in college for my senior year and her junior year. And we've known Deborah since about 2011. We've never actually met face-to-face with her. We've just Skyped her. So she's in Montana. So we're in Georgia and Ohio. So obviously our company's on the internet because we are nowhere near each other. And we got started, well, first we had just a writer's group with the three of us that we would, you know, write a chapter or so. And every week we would, you know, show each other our writing and critique, you know, just a critique group. And that was called Thinklings, named after the Inklings, which is J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and other people. Was it George McDonald? No, not George McDonald. Their writing group, Chesterton.
Mm-hmm.
And D.K. Chesterton, not George McDonald. Being a publisher totally hit me out of left field. I never saw that coming in my life. It was not what I expected to happen to me, but it's really awesome. It's been so amazing, and it's definitely a good kind of surprise for me because we've been trying to get our books published for quite a while. Deborah and I and Jeannie had self-published, and I think she had also tried to get traditionally published, and Deborah and I had sent, I sent about 50. I don't know. Deborah probably sent more query letters to literary agents to get traditionally published. And we were wondering why all the agents were saying, oh, your book is so great, but it's not for me, or I'm going to have to pass. And we're like, well, if our book is so great, why won't you publish it? why won't you represent it? And Jeannie was a literary consultant working with a bunch of writers, and so many writers were having the same problem as we were. My reason was I wanted to get traditionally published because the M word, marketing, it is a scary, scary word to me. And I knew that if I self-published, I would have to do all the marketing myself. And as an introvert, that word is super scary. But I have since learned that marketing is nowhere near as scary as people, especially introverts, think it is. And I've written some blog posts about that on our website that you can go find, but because I don't have time for that here, do I?
You sure so can. This is all about you. Go ahead and tell it. Go ahead.
Well, thinklingsbooks.com/blog, and then one of them is playlists and the fun side of marketing. And I think I have one from, since I'm at the computer, was it last week? Twitter doesn't have to be overwhelming. It was from January 29th. It's at the top right now, but tomorrow it'll be the second one down. Just about how we've figured out great social media marketing strategies. We actually have a book that just came out about Twitter, how to create a platform on Twitter by being yourself and having fun. And now marketing is not nearly as scary as I personally believed it was, and I'm sure a lot of other people think that too. So we just want to help people realize that you can do it. Oh, anyway. So
well, marketing is such a it's a massive beast, you know. It's almost like a werewolf. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's almost like that. It's a massive beast. And sometimes it can be very daunting, particularly when you're in an industry that is saturated. And I've made this comment before.
Uh-huh.
And so what you have to do is work toward building a tribe. And once you build that mm-hmm. tribe, that tribe will continue to spread the word. But it's difficult because a lot of writers who are introverts do have a problem with engaging their readers because they want the book to be the conduit of connection between themselves and the reader. But nowadays, with so many books coming at you, a reader may decide, well, do I really want to read that person's book if I really don't have any kind of personal information about them? We're not talking about, you know, your social security number. We're just talking like, do I know this person? I mean, do they seem like a affable person or do they have, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so now
yeah.
I think, and this is my opinion, and feel free to correct me where I'm wrong, Sarah, but I feel like engaging the reader, like you said, being yourself is one of the methods you can use to help gain that tribe of followers. What has been your experience as you tackle that beast of marketing?
Oh, that's exactly like, yeah, like you said, be yourself and also community. Actually, that's what, you know, Thinklings is aiming to start a community to help, you know, help all the writers, like, market, whether we publish them or not. We're starting a writers collective, which is going to be a community where you can, you know, there's a forum, you can ask questions, you can, you know, see the latest articles about what's happening in industry. It's just a community. So it's all about the community. And as for the marketing, yeah, like, being yourself, authenticity, because okay, back in the day, which really was like a year or less ago, when I thought marketing, I thought, you know, oh, those obnoxious door-to-door salesmen that I hide from, you know, I'm like looking through the peephole and not answering the door if I think they're a vacuum salesman or something, or those annoying calls. Oh, sales calls, no, man. Now we even get them on our cell phones, too. Oh. That is not the kind of marketing that we are talking about.
You're right.
We are talking about having fun. So what I do on Twitter is Jeannie told me, because, you know, she's the one who's been in the biz for like 15 years on the business side of writing. So she's our chief marketing officer telling us our strategies. So she said, Sarah, when I was just starting out, you need to just make a bunch of puns. And I was like, what? Because I love making puns. I mean, puns and me, mm-hmm. we've been, like, BFFs for a long time. And when I was in high school, I made this whole cartoon that was all about puns, and it was awesome. And so she Jeannie knows that I love puns, so that's why she told me to do that. And I was like, what? And lo and behold, I have, like, 5,160 Twitter followers now from making puns. And I'm like, what the heck? How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome. Just be yourself. And she's like, just have fun. And she's like, you don't have to be like all business and stuffy. And I'm like, good, because that is not what I want to do at all. I hate that kind of stuff. I just want to be a real person and talk to real people and have some fun and be like, hey, you know, if you like this kind of book, then check out my book and, you know, not make a big weird deal out of it. Just be cool and like chat with people, which is what I've been doing on Twitter. And it's really awesome. It's been so great and fun. And I just love it.
It's fascinating because Twitter is one of the best marketing tools that an author can have, and I was told this myself, so I'm glad that you're really expanding on that. But some people, they don't like social media. They say, I don't like social media. I don't want to be on there. But you got to figure, hey, do I take a couple of hours to acclimate myself to this, and then I can use that to help build my exposure, or do I let the fact that I don't like it stop me? And it's very possible that some people just don't like social media. And I get that because, you know, mm-hmm. privacy and all other kind of things. But if, you know, if you're mindful of what you put out there, which is what I always say, kind of be mindful of what you're putting out there, you know, I think privacy
yeah.
is a luxury. Like, if you don't even want to know, write down hand, by hand. That's what I feel like. Just write by hand. It can't be downloaded. You know what I mean? Like, you can't download it.
Exactly.
And, you know, stuff like that. But I think if you take the time out to, you know, engage in social media and learn how to work it almost like you would a certain amount of time. You don't have to spend all your time on social media. You know, you plan it. You know, like, I'm pretty sure you plan what you say or you're going to do what you're going to do. You work at interaction and it goes from there. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Sarah. And for those of you just tuning in, we're talking to Sarah Awa about her newest book, Hunter's Moon. It's her debut novel, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Hunter's Moon today. And what's really interesting about Hunter's Moon is that it is a werewolf novel. And every time I think of werewolf novels, I think of the old Lon Chaney movies from back in the day. Because I could never understand. I mean, it took them 5 minutes to change. I mean, you could have ran away by now. You know, like, you know, you just go stand there going, oh, my gosh, he's changing. I'm like, supposed to run and go, oh, my gosh, he's changing. And, you know, let me get away from here. I mean, because it took him, like, he's sitting there. You know, he's in the movie sitting there changing. You have time, to run away, which is why I will never be in a situation to get bit by a werewolf. But what you really did in Hunter's Moon, as I was reading the story, is that you did the classic. It's a classic, but I'm like, no, leave the phone. Nobody cares about the phone. I know where this is going. But even if you know that, you just know that it's happening. And that's what you did really well with Hunter's Moon, is just creating that atmosphere. And I felt like I was in a movie hollering at the characters, like, don't go back for the phone. Wait till tomorrow morning. I wanted to tell her that, but she wouldn't listen. So we had to follow her journey. And so for those of you listening, I am talking about Hunter's Moon, available on Amazon.com. Now, when we come back from our break, Sarah's going to tell us more about Hunter's Moon, and we're going to tell you a way that you can win a free copy of Hunter's Moon for yourself. You want to weigh in? You know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stop with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very, very happy you are here with me today. We are talking to Sarah Awa. She is the author of the debut novel, Hunter's Moon. You like werewolves? This is the one for you. Available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you've been tuning in, you know that Sarah has been a longtime writer and reader, but now she took that step and published her first book with her own publishing company called Thinkling Books. And you can follow them online at thinklingbooks.com, follow them on Twitter at Thinkling Books at Twitter, and follow Sarah at author Sarah Awa, AWA. Sarah, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. I really want to delve into this novel now because Hunter's Moon is a wonderful, wonderful story. And like I say, your wordsmith skills are phenomenal. But tell us a little bit about Hunter's Moon, but don't give us any spoilers. We kind of know it's a werewolf just from the cover. We kind of know, okay? Because the cover is phenomenal, by the way. You know, you have half a face of a werewolf and half the face of this beautiful young lady who's looking like she's having a bad day. You know I would. But go ahead and tell us about Hunter's Moon, but don't give us any spoilers.
Okay, so, well, we know she's a werewolf, so that's, I guess, not a spoiler. The main character's name is Melanie. She is about 20. She's a junior in college. She's on the college campus in Pennsylvania, so... I live right next to Pennsylvania. I've driven through it a lot, and all it is woods and road construction to me. But I've done a bit of other research aside from being there. So it's in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of woods settings and the college. And she starts out, you know, with a great, nice, normal life. She's a student. She's a double major, but, you know, she's pretty smooth sailing, good girl, good grades. Until everything goes very, very, very wrong on this camping trip. And as you know, she's a werewolf, so you can guess what happens there without me spoiling the details about that. And then once she finally realizes what happened, which doesn't happen right away, then she has to deal with all the problems of that. Because as you said earlier, it's a traditional werewolf story. It's not one of the modern ones like they can control their shifting and they keep their mind. Oh, no, it is a dangerous, painful curse. They don't keep their mind. They will kill their own family and friends if they're around them when they're a wolf. So she has to obviously protect everyone from herself. So it's not really a fun, fluffy werewolf story.
And I'm glad in that regard because too often we want to make like, oh, it's so cool to be a vampire. It's like, no, it isn't. It's so cool to be a werewolf. No, it isn't. You know, if we got to deal with these things, it's not fun, you know. And I remember, and I hate to deviate, but as soon as you say a werewolf, it reminded me of one of those court shows. And this guy, he said he was a vampire. And and the judge was like, a vampire. He was like, I can't go out in the daytime. Because mind you, he's in the courtroom right now, you know. But he's like, I can't go out in the daytime. And the judge goes, or what? You know, like, what will happen? You know, because that was his faith was vampirism, you know. He lost the case, by the way. But anyway, but I like the fact that you bring us back to reality that, hey, if you really were a werewolf, it's not this romantic thing. It's horrible. Like you said, you can kill your own family members. I mean, you know, it could get really bad. And I like the fact that you did that. And for those of you who know Peter Younghusband, he's on my board of directors as far as like reviewers. He really raved about your book and he enjoyed it thoroughly. And you can follow Peter at Perspective by Peter online. And so one of the elements about Hunter's Moon that he touched on that I want you to talk about is some of the themes that you discussed. And one of the things you discussed is that, you know, it's not romantic. It's not like, oh, she's aware of, but he can shift on. No, he can't. The moon's out, run away. You know, it's kind of one of those things, right? So tell us about some of the themes that you explore in this that differs a lot from what's traditionally out there right now.
Like the painful aspect, you know, like people call it the problem of pain and suffering. There's definitely a lot of that in there because I'm really horrible and mean to poor Melanie. I feel bad, but it's like, you know, life, what is that? There's a line from The Princess Bride that's like, life is pain, princess. Anyone who tells you anything otherwise is selling something. Of course, you don't want to just stop there because life is also, you know, you can have deep joy and peace in your life too. It's not only pain, but you cannot get away from pain in this life. You are going to have pain and problems eventually. And it's also like a coming-of-age novel because Melanie moves from the childhood innocence where she had such a great life And then she's suddenly thrust into this cold, cruel, terrible reality, which, you know, she never even believed in reality. She's like, I never believe in werewolves. And, like, there's no way that's real. That can't possibly be real until it happens to her. And then, obviously, she has to believe. So it's about, like, you know, you can't escape pain in life. And definitely drawn from some seriously painful circumstances in my life, although I started writing it before that stuff happened to me. But, you know, then I was able to really, really, really put, like, some, you know, deep, painful experiences that I have had, mostly in, like, my 20s, into the book so I can give it real, like, what do you call it, like, depth and heart of, like, just knowing what it's like to just have really terrible things happen. When I was diagnosed with an autoimmune when I was 23, thankfully I was able to graduate college before getting sick, so it didn't, like, interfere with that and me getting my degree. But then, like, about a year later, I started having bloody noses and all kinds of horrible symptoms, like coughing up blood. Eventually it got that bad, and I was, like, blue lips and dying, and they took me to the hospital. And after, like, 3 days, they diagnosed me with this autoimmune, which those, if you know, are not curable. It's your own body attacking you. So right now they don't know how to stop that permanently. They can just deal with the symptoms, but they can't actually cure it. So that's a little bit like Sony. And I'm like, holy cow, that's super freaky that I had the idea before it happened to me. And then it happened to me. And I was like, okay, am I a psychic or something? It was not a good kind of thing that you want to predict, though. But so I've been there, and then the medicines they give you can cause severe suicidal depression, and, yeah, that happened. For, like, 5 years of my life, I pretty much lost from when I was about 23 to about 28 years old. It's just gone, and I don't hardly remember anything from those years, because every day I just wanted to die, but obviously I didn't do it, so I'm still here talking to you now. So lessons really hard, but then God brought me out of that when I was, I think, like 28, I think. So, mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of a long story. It was just a bunch of little things incrementally, and then I just had, like, this moment of realizing what I needed to do was just, you know, get connected to people again instead of being isolated. And then I went to this church group, and then I met all these great people and got in this awesome Bible study. And I even met Oscar, like, a few months after that. And then he, like, totally proposed to me after, like, 2 months of dating. It was, like, the craziest, unexpected, you know, like, God always does exceedingly above and beyond. What's that verse in the Bible? Exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or imagine. Like, I've seen that in my life, too. So I've been in the deepest dark, and then I've come out so much better than I imagined it would be. So that's just the kind of thing that is kind of imbued in my book, I guess, because it's just, you know, it's who I am and what I've been through. So it's...
I love it, Sarah. Oh, no, I love it. I love the fact that you were so transparent about that because, you know, we have this wonderful story that you have given to the world, and you have a company that's working to love people, you know, and God's using you for something bigger, even though you may have a chronic illness. You see what I'm saying? An autoimmune disease. And I know another girlfriend of mine, she has autoimmune condition. And for her, it's literally only her faith that keeps her going. Literally, that's it. You know, like, you know, because she deals with the flare-ups and problems. And, you know, one time my girlfriend, she just said, hey, Parker, you know, they found something wrong, and I don't know how long I have to live. I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know, right? And I'm freaking out. We're praying and everything. And then they said, oh, she's doing fine. But she said, you know what, I'm okay. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's like roller coaster, you know. And I always, you know, acknowledge that there are those among us outside of the body of Christ and in the body of Christ that have chronic illness, and it can really affect you. And the fact that you are continuing to overcome that every single day, that you're continuing to do that, is just a testament of your strength. And the fact that you took something that you didn't even know that would take this to Hunter's Moon, you know, like you said, we can't escape pain and suffering. We can't escape it. So in some way or form, it's going to happen, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, it's going to happen, you know. But thankfully, the term I love is but God. I love that, but God. So, you know, and I like how you're using that. One of our supporters on the show, when she saw your book, she said, I wonder what the biblical reference going to be here. And I said, you have just answered that question, you know, like, but God, you know. And, you know, I feel like as we continue to talk about your book, I was, you know, one of your characters in there is Timmy. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like Timmy. I don't like Timmy, okay? Like, as soon as he comes onto the scene, I don't like him. But I got to be honest with you, Sarah. I feel like I would be Timmy. You know what I mean? Like, if this was me, you know, if she flipping out, you know, got bit by somebody, leave her there. You know, that's how I feel, right? Because it is all, let's think about horror, if you think about it. It's all about self-preservation, right? And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. you know, she's about, I'm like, leave, you know, and then she's slowing us up. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I would be Timmy, you know. But I actually like Timmy because he really does personify my will of self-preservation. And bravo, you know, I think, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to be this and that. Knowing that you wouldn't. when rubber meets the road, knowing that you wouldn't. So I like Timmy. Tell us a little about Timmy, because he's like our antagonist in the story. You find it out very early, so it's not a spoiler. Tell us about Timmy. You know, was he based off someone you knew, or just that thing that comes when you write?
Yeah, he's definitely based on someone that I knew, but obviously I'm not going to say who, because that's not nice. Like, J.K. Rowling based Gilderoy Lockhart on some jerk that she knew.
Right.
Yeah, he's the only person, he's the only character who's based on a real person. Yes. He was just, well, the Timmy in the book is really worse than the real one, so he's a lot worse in the book because obviously you have to have conflict and stuff in a story, so he's so full of himself. He's pretty chauvinistic and just, ugh. Like, every time he opened his mouth, I'm like, ugh, get me out of here.
Like, but, shut up. You know, he kind of go like, shut up, you know, stop talking.
He's when to shut up. Yeah, he's just, I mean, you know, it's like one choice leads to another, and you keep making bad choices, and eventually your character will get corrupted. I have to try and think, you know, like, he could have turned out, you know, we all make choices. I mean, you know, I always have to think, you know, there but for the grace of God, go I, and it's just the choices you make.
Like, I'd rather be the werewolf than you. That's kind of like what you think. At least I can't control my mouth. I'll just kill you, and I wouldn't even know. You know, it's like, I wouldn't even know. You'd be done. And I like that. You know, I like how Tim, even though, you know, as soon as he talks, it's like, be quiet. I mean, I was literally, I felt like I was watching a movie, like, oh my gosh, be quiet, you know. And when he, and it, it just, it was just very classy. That's, I mean, your wordsmith skills are really good. They're really good. And so, you know, that's what I like about it. So when we come back from our break, you are going to be reading us an excerpt from Hunter's Moon. And I want to tell all you listening out there that we're going to hear in just a few moments. We're going to take a quick break so she can get that excerpt ready. And if you want to weigh in, you know you can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Having such a great time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Sarah Awa, and her debut novel, Hunter's Moon, available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Sarah right now is going to read an excerpt from Hunter's Moon. So what I'm going to do is mute myself. And Sarah, I want you to definitely take it away.
Okay, I picked a different excerpt than I gave Peter Young Husband because I thought if there was overlap, then I have a different one. This is from Chapter 6. This is about almost the end of it, except for a little bit. Okay, it was Saturday, thank goodness, but instead of calm and relaxed, Melanie felt the tug of unaccomplished work. Due to her restlessness during the past few days, she failed to finish editing the Sentinel articles. Groaning, she made her way to the deserted Sentinel office. She tried to sit still and concentrate on her work, but within minutes, her newfound ADHD resurfaced. Her limbs tingled, her mind raced, and her frustration grew. The sunlight streaming through the windows was awfully bright. The clock's ticking punctuated the silence like shots from a BB gun. The room reeked of lemon cleaner. It took Melanie 3 hours to edit a dozen short articles. By the time she finished wrestling with them and herself, she developed a raging headache, and she longed for a nap. She left the office and headed back down the empty hallway toward the exit. As she reached for the push bar, her ears caught the sound of soft footsteps behind her. She stiffened. I thought I was alone. Is it Dawn? Before she could turn to look, an arm wrapped around her waist like an iron band, clamping her arms to her sides. Lightning shot down Mel's spine. She balked and kicked, her fight instincts tempered by disbelief. Was this some kind of joke? Let me go, she screamed. It wasn't Dawn, for sure. Had to be a guy. Too tall and strong to be Timmy. Luis would never do such a thing to her. This was no hug. The arm pulled her closer against the hard body. Warm breath rushed over her neck. Damp, pungent cloth pressed over her nose and mouth. Mel protested. The hand held the cloth firmly in place. Its astringent smell made her nauseous. Her lungs fought to suck in air. She thrashed and wriggled, kicking backward at her assailant's shins. He jerked when she landed a blow, but he lifted that leg and clamped it around both of hers. With his body coiled around her like a caduceus snake, she could barely move. Who are you? She wanted to yell, but the world began to spin and turn black. She realized, as her consciousness faded, that the cloth had been soaked in a soporific drug. Her body went limp in his arms.
And that is an excerpt from Hunter's Moon, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Again, an excerpt from Hunter's Moon, available on Amazon.com, published by Thinkling Books. You can follow Thinkling Books at thinklingbooks.com and follow Sarah, author Sarah Awa, on Twitter. You know, Sarah, I love that you read that excerpt because we're left gasping as to who just did this to her. And I always figure, you know, in the movies about when the girl gets the cloth put over her nose, you know, I've never would want that to happen. That would frighten me to death. You know, you know, like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And I always joke and say, well, I'm too big because I'm not skinny. They couldn't, you know, do it, you know, because I'm heavy set. And someone was like, people, if they really want to get you, Parker, they will. You know, they're really determined. They will figure out everything they possibly can. But I like that you read that excerpt there. Just gave us a taste of your wordsmith skills. And to those of you listening, I told you that her wordsmith skills were phenomenal. So make sure you go ahead, love on my sister today, and pick up a copy of Hunter's Moon, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Now, what has been the reader's response to Hunter's Moon?
Okay, so my book's only been out for about a month. I haven't heard a whole ton yet, but everything I've heard has been positive, and what kind of tickles me, what I'm amused and what I really like hearing is a couple people have said that werewolf books aren't typically their thing, that's not what they generally want to or like to read, but they were pleasantly surprised, and they ended up really liking it and wanting the sequel, so I love it when I can turn around a skeptic and surprise people, you know, because it's like, I love it when things aren't quite as they seem, and then they end up being better than you thought. Like a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
So I was really happy that
totally
I was able
there.
To Yeah, I love it.
I think, too, the resistance has been because with a lot of werewolf stories, particularly romance stories, and they always have this love triangle between whoever, and it's like, you know, love triangles are good in spades, you know, but not a lot. You know, in every book is a young adult, you know, and I always feel like for me, as a young, I don't read young adult, and yours is not young adult, it's new adult, but I feel as if young adults, when they have these, you know, werewolf problems, it's like, you know, if you really want to have a good day, get a job. You know, I'm thinking like, get a job, work with people you don't like, and then come back to me. You know, being a werewolf would be the least of your problems, you know. But I like the fact that you mixed her regular life with this new thing that's thrown at her, like you said earlier in the broadcast. You have this thing mixed, and it's causing her to have that be affected by that because, like you said, it's something that happens. And it's not a good thing, and she has to deal with it. So many things are going on, and learning how to control that. I think that's a really good part of what you'll be talking about there. So tell us a little bit about your next projects as we get close to the end of our show. Tell us about your next projects you have planned.
Well, don't worry, I'm writing the sequel. Everyone's like, write the sequel now. I'm like, okay,
right.
I'm 5 touches in, I'm working. Like, don't worry. I'm a good way in. And then I mentioned that I wanted to do an anime project after that, but that's quite a ways down the road because it'll be like a trilogy probably for Hunter's Moon. So, well, I'm not going to spoil what I'm writing in the sequel. So I don't know what else to say about that. But
Well, do you have a working title for it yet or no?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to change because the plot is kind of going in a different direction than I thought it was going to go. The working title is Feral, you know, F-E-R-A-L, but don't count on that being the actual title, so we'll see where it goes. Because
I know how that works.
Plot with, like, an outline, because I always, it's going to deviate no matter what I do with them. Like, why bother if it's going to be different than your outline? Why bother making one? Just write, because I love how the plot gives me surprises. Like I said about surprises, I love it.
I know, and people say, if you are a plotter, you can write faster. I said, please be quiet, because I like being a pantser, personally. I like being a pantser. I mean, I sometimes have a very vague outline, like there's a guy and a girl. There you go. You know, so I know that's going to be
like,
part
I have
of
one
the,
in my
the story. Head. Yeah.
Yeah, like I have an outline.
I don't
like,
want
you know,
it on
such
paper.
And such major event. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, if it's going to change, why bother? Because just write the story.
Yeah, but then I have my plotter friends who look at me like, you're absolutely insane. That's what I know, right? Crazy. Yeah, I totally get you. So if we want to follow you, go ahead and tell us your social media outlets.
So I have the Twitter that you mentioned, Author Sarah Awa, which I'm pretty much on there every day. I'll be on Facebook a couple times a week, which is just facebook.com/SarahAwaAuthor. I have an Instagram I don't use a whole lot. I mean, I have a bunch of stuff on there now, but Sarah, at SarahAwa42. I do have a Goodreads author page now I just set up. There's not, like, a really nice, easy URL for that one. You just search my book, and then you can click on my name, and I have a page on there. So that's about it for my social media.
And, you know, this show is always about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write. So in a few moments that we have left, send some encouraging words to the authors out there.
Well, I would just say, I mean, don't think that you're too old and don't think that it's too late. You know, like some days I was just like, you know, it seemed absolutely impossible that I would ever finish my book and ever get it published. And here I am. So that was a lie. So don't believe that you can't do it. You can do it. And if you're in a very dark place, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your physical health and your mental health, you know, go to a counselor if you need it. Cause it is some serious stuff that, you know, you don't want to go to the place where I was. And if you're there, I would just say, you know, I love you. And I, you know, I'm praying for everyone who has gone through, you know, that tough of a time, and don't give up. You know, you can come out of it and just reach for the light and just, you know, God loves you. And oh, also find your people, find the people who will encourage you to write and, you know, try to find like a writer's group or something because I, you know, I'm not really that motivated without other writers being interested and being like, hey, what happens next in your story? So you might need that too. So find your tribe.
Sarah, I can't think of a better way to end the show today. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on the show. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
And we were talking today to Sarah Awa. She is the author of the debut novel Hunter's Moon. If you like werewolf stories, this is the one for you. Available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Interested in seeing if maybe Thinkling Books will publish your work? Go to thinklingbooks.com and see what their submission requirements are. And maybe you'll be on the show one day. Who knows? We'll find out. One thing I like that Sarah said that I want to leave with you is that, you know, if you're in a dark place, because she was there and she talked about it. She was in there not for a couple of days, but for a while. She said, find your tribe. Find people who love you. And then she said something, and she said, I love you and God loves you. She said, find your way out. She said, reach for the light. So no matter how dark it is, even the smallest pinprick of light shatters the darkness. And I want you to take that with you. So if you have the gift to write, guess what? Pick up the pen and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Write Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at thewritestuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.